Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 135. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. To start off this week's episode, I want to fill you all in and update you on something that I promised last week at the end of the episode. Last week's episode was about the best augmented reality apps for iOS, but I happened to drop a hint that I would be recording a big band version of the free software song. Now, I had every intention of doing that. Last week, I had a performance scheduled where the band was actually going to sight read this song on the spot and we'll get a recording down. And I had every intention of putting it on the show, but the weather did not cooperate. And we were watching the weather on Tuesday, and the weather was sort of back and forth, whether or not we were going to have snow or we were going to have freezing rain and when the storm was going to hit. And it looked pretty good for a while, and we thought we were actually going to be able to have our show, and the weather took a turn for the worse a lot earlier than I had expected. And what we did, we ended up having to cancel late in the afternoon on Wednesday, and it was a good thing that we did, because by 4:30 Wednesday afternoon, the roads were covered with ice and cars were sliding off the roads everywhere, and the snow did not come as expected. It was all freezing rain, and the whole upstate area here was just completely glazed over, and it was just atrocious and dangerous for everybody. So it was, we made the right call. We decided to cancel the show. So what we're going to do, we will record it, hopefully, weather permitting, the first Wednesday in March. So it's a couple weeks away now, but just wanted to fill you in on that. Last week was kind of a difficult week weather-wise. Not only did that show get canceled, but we also had a local music festival that got canceled the next day. And just a giant pain all around weather-wise last week. So things like that happen. Hopefully everybody understands. We'll put this recording as soon as we have it available. I will bring it to everybody's attention in just a few weeks. Now, today's show, what I would like to do with today's show is talk to you all about a sort of project that came up this week with me. I had a family member contact me at the beginning of last week, and basically what they wanted to do, they said, I have an old laptop, it is no longer working, and what can we do about it? Is there anything that we can do about it? It turns on, goes to a black screen. After some investigation, we found it was an older laptop. It may have run Windows 7. It originally had Vista on it. They weren't really sure. And basically what had happened is there was a bad update. The laptop powered off accidentally and basically could not boot into the system. And what could we do about it? So I started off taking a look at this, and I said, well, you know, it's very well possible we could fix this, and we'll see what we can do. So I took a look at the laptop. This was a little older than I had expected it to be, probably from around 2007, 2008. I believe it was an HP laptop. And the real deal here was it was a 32-bit version of Windows. So I started taking a look around at the laptop. It was one of the first things I did is I turned it on and saw what the problem was. It was just not booting, would boot to a blank screen. And so I started the very basic, trying to get into safe mode. Would it let me get into safe mode? No, it didn't let me go into safe mode. So next I started sort of seeing what I could do. I tried to go into the BIOS, see what I had available there. Could I boot from a USB? Because this was an old laptop, and I wasn't sure even if that was possible at this point, or would I have to go get a CD of some kind or a DVD, that type of thing. So I tried to just kind of search around, get used to what was available. And next thing I did is I searched for a recovery drive. So the recovery drive booted just fine. And I said, okay, well, at least we can get this back up and running. So the recovery drive, unfortunately, was Windows Vista, and we know that Vista is no longer supported. And one of the ideas was maybe with a second laptop, we could take Vista and upgrade it to Windows 7. And I had given this family member my Windows 7 upgrade disk and told them, you know, what they needed to do in order to get that going. And so we had a second laptop available if we needed it. But I always have this thing about old laptops and trying to keep them up and running as long as possible. And so first thing I tried to do was just try to get it to boot up into Windows. And so I started the recovery, and the recovery completes after a tremendously long period of time, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And so I boot up into Vista, and I thought, oh, great. I got it. I kind of got it back. Now we can make some progress, either upgrade it to Windows 7 or, you know, obviously I'm not going to give them a laptop that really isn't supported anymore. And they were aware of this. They knew that it wasn't going to be safe for them to be online. So in the back of my mind, I had mentioned Linux to them. I had been thinking about Linux and really didn't want to go that route at first, until about maybe 10, 15 minutes after restoring the laptop, it went back to a blank screen and again would not boot up after a few minutes, just be a black screen. So I tried the recovery media one more time, and instead of keeping the backup files this time, or instead of keeping all the files that were already on the machine, I decided to just do a complete factory reset. So did a complete factory reset, and about halfway through, it froze up. I tried it again, maybe three quarters of the way through, it froze up. So at this point, I'm starting to bank on either a hardware issue, maybe it's a hard drive. So I go through memory test checks out, did the hard drive test seemed to check out okay. And I start thinking more about Linux, and maybe that would be the solution in this case. So I contact this family member, and I ask them, what exactly do you need to do online with this laptop? Well, web browsing with Firefox, and we use Thunderbird for email. Immediately the light bulb goes off that if that's all they're using, then I've got the right choice for them. So I explain what Linux is, why it's worthwhile. If you don't want to buy a new computer at this point in time, and you want to keep your computer around for another year, another 2 years, whatever, or longer, then it might be a good option to at least try, because it's free. Now, we were thinking at one point in time of going online, purchasing a Windows 7 disk and upgrading it. But I strongly caution that, because buying a disk from eBay may not be legitimate. You know, most retailers aren't selling Windows 7 disks anymore. And another year from now, Windows 7 is going end of life. So why put money into that when in a year from now it's not going to be of any benefit? So I started thinking about Linux Mint and trying to figure out what to do with this old laptop. It's 32-bit. Now, I had in the back of my mind the stories of many Linux distributions abandoning 32-bit. And we knew in 2017, Ubuntu abandoned 32 Mint, and shortly thereafter, a lot of the variants started doing the same thing. And I wasn't even sure if Linux Mint still made a 32-bit version. Well, it turns out that they do. So in this case, what I wanted to do is I immediately knew that Mate probably wasn't the Mate desktop environment probably wasn't going to cut it with this. It probably could, but it wouldn't be very performant. So it's been a while since I checked out XFCE, and I decided to download Linux Mint 19.1. This is the code name Tessa, and it's the XFCE version, the very lightweight XFCE desktop, and I downloaded the 32-bit version. So Linux Mint 19.1 is the long-term support release, which is supported until 2023. So that gives several years worth of support for this old laptop. And with security updates, keeping the software updated, and the latest features, but on this old laptop. And being so long and so far away from XFCE for the past few years, I really wasn't sure what to expect. I've never really been a fan of XFCE. I just never really found an XFCE desktop that I liked. But I knew it was going to get this system back up and running. Now, this old laptop, I still wasn't convinced that there wasn't a hardware issue. But I decided to download 19.1 XFCE and put it on a flash drive, boot it on this old machine. Sure enough, it comes up. And what I decided to do, I wanted to install Linux, but I kept the recovery partition on there just in case Linux wasn't their thing. They could always go back to Vista and they could upgrade if they wanted to in the future, just trying to make it possible for them to still have options available in the future. So I installed Linux Mint about 10 o'clock in the morning on this old laptop, and I had to configure a few things to get the Wi-Fi to work on it. It was Broadcom Wi-Fi, so just typical things that were easy to get up and running. And after that, the system seemed to be up and running, and I didn't really have any issues at first. So I looked at Linux Mint, and I decided to look around the desktop environment just to see what was there. And the reason why I always recommend Linux Mint to new Linux users, number one, it's very similar to Windows. It's very user-friendly. It's very easy to navigate and find things, whether you're traversing menus or just setting up your network connection or very, very basic needs. It's pretty easy to find those things. So on top of that, Linux Mint has always been visually appealing. It looks good, it looks great, and with this old system that had 2 gigabytes of RAM on it, it seemed to be running pretty well. It took a little while for it to boot up, a good couple of minutes, where at the first time I booted it, I wasn't sure if it was actually going to work. So they do recommend 2 gigabytes of RAM for comfortable usage, they say on the Mint website. Recommending at least a 20 gigabyte hard drive, we were good there. I think we had 160 gigabyte hard drive. And screen resolution of 1024 by 768, which we didn't have a problem with there either. So after installing it, the install went flawless. System was up and running, Wi-Fi up and running. Everything worked out great. I decided to see if this laptop was going to overheat like it was. I assume it was overheating and it was shutting down after 20, 25 minutes with Vista running on it. So that was an issue that we were having. I wanted to see if it's having. So 25 minutes go by, and I've got the resource manager open, the activity monitor, whatever you want to call it. It's open. Everything's running great. No issues whatsoever. So I decide to push it to its max. So I open Firefox and I have a video playing in YouTube. I'm doing a few other things, web browsing, and it's pretty solid for the most part. And it's not the fastest laptop at this point, obviously, but with Linux Mint 19 XFCE on it, it's working great. And it ran from 10 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, nonstop. Did not overheat, had zero issues with anything that I tried on it. So I gave it a good few hours of some pretty intense testing on it. And this old laptop with a 32-bit operating system, 2 gigs of RAM, not a whole lot of bells and whistles. I think it was an AMD Turan processor. Still worked great. So now I want to have the discussion of why Linux distros and many other people are ending 32-bit support. So here's the deal. Over the next few years, 32-bit is going to be phased out. I don't think anybody really disagrees with that, because 64-bit computers, the newer computers are exponentially more powerful than 32-bit computers. So 32-bit machines can handle 2 to the 32 bits of data, while 64 bits can handle 2 to the 64 bits of data. What that basically means is that a 32 gigabyte architecture can support around 4 gigabytes of RAM. And a 64-bit architecture can theoretically support 18 billion gigabytes. So 64-bit, that came around in the early 2000s, will be around for a while, probably decades at this point in time. So with the phasing out of these older computers, many Linux distros are eliminating their 32-bit operating systems at this point in time. But is it really something that needs to happen right now? Well, the most popular, I already mentioned, the most popular versions of Linux have already stopped making 32-bit versions. Things like Ubuntu, Ubuntu Mate, Kubuntu, OpenSUSE, Elementary OS, all of them have stopped making 32-bit. There are Linux distros like Linux Mint that still make it available. And I want to sort of propose in one case why I think it should stick around for just a few more years. And that being, there are people out there that do not use computers every day. They have very basic web browsing needs. They have very basic computer needs, whether it's just checking an email. And these aren't the type of people that want to go out and spend $800 on a new laptop or new computer. They will use this old machine as long as they possibly can. To the point that a lot of people who are not really computer literate may understand that their computer isn't completely supported at this time, but they don't understand how vulnerable they are when accessing the internet and when it's coming to security issues. So when they reach out to people that are computer literate and we find things that maybe, you know, a Linux would be a solution because it's more stable, more secure. It's not perfect, but more secure than older operating systems like Windows Vista or Windows XP. And believe me, I've ran into at least 5 or 6 people in the last few weeks that still run Vista on their computer. And I try to warn them that that's not okay. And they still continue to use it. So things like Linux maybe would help them out and help them be a little bit more secure if it's just very basic things that they need. So another case in point, let's say in a very low economic area and not a lot of people have money to purchase new machines, new laptops, new desktops, and they will just use that machine and basically until it dies. And having an option to extend the life of a machine by 2, 3, 4, or even 5 years, I think is an important discussion that needs to happen, especially when it comes in terms of using Linux on it, because you can take a computer where their OS has come to end of life, put a LTS version of Linux on it, and extend the life of the laptop so that they aren't burdened by the purchase of a new laptop. And there are some caveats with this. So yes, with the more popular versions of Linux, eliminating the 32-bit version, you're running into problems a little bit with resource limitations. You need somebody to maintain the 32-bit versions. And also with that, you know, Linux, we always talk about the free software that's available, but many software developers are now ending support for the 32-bit versions of their software. So Chrome, for example, does not offer a 32-bit version of Chrome on Linux. And other companies are only releasing 64-bit versions of their apps. So is 32-bit support sort of coming to an end? Yes, it will over the next few years, but in some cases it's still officially supported until 2021, 2023. So at that point, I think we might see it disappear for good, but at least you have a few more years, especially when it's coming for those things. Now, Linux Mint 19.1, if you're looking for a 32-bit version of an OS, say you have an old laptop in a closet you want to revive just for fun, or you want to see what it can do, give it a shot and see what it does for you. I think most people out there would really like this version of XFCE. It's by far my favorite version of XFCE. I'm not a big fan of the XFCE desktop on other Linux distros, but this one was actually usable. Didn't have any issues with it at all. It was stable. It took this old laptop that was about ready to be thrown away and gave it a possibility of being used for a few more years. It kind of reminded me a while back. We found an old laptop. I don't know. This is around 2011, 2012, possibly. I found an old laptop that was from 1998, and I put damn small Linux on it. Running Windows 98 originally, and I just wanted to see what it could do at that time. And 14 years later, it still became something that could be used if necessary. So I have this thing where I like to take old hardware and try to revive it and keep it up and running as long as possible. Linux Mint is my go-to for this. I've taken the 32 bits before and installed them on old Dell laptops in the past. And really just, I have no complaints about it. It's exactly what I think Linux Mint should be. And it should be, hopefully they decide to keep the 32-bit for at least a few more years. So let me know if you have a 32-bit machine lying around and if you want to try this out, or if you have another version of Linux that you like to use the 32 bits for. This is sort of, most of the time I'm looking ahead in the future about new hardware, new specs and that type of thing. But it's always good to take a step back and look at things that have already been put out that we can reuse rather than purchasing new equipment and spending money that most people don't have to spend. So I'd be interested on your thoughts. When do you think 32-bit is going to finally go away forever? And you can email me, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. Or you can join us in our Discord chat room. If you just go to my website, mrptechreviews.com, click on the Discord button, that'll bring you right to our chat room. It's a whole lot of fun there with everybody in that room all week long. Come on and join us and talk some behind the scenes things in between shows. So that's going to do it for this show. Thanks to Podnuts for producing this show and publishing it. And check out all the shows over at podnuts.com. Thanks everybody for listening. That's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next week.